And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast, live from an undisclosed location in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I am thrilled to be joined by the Defensive Player of the Year, All-NBA? All-NBA, right?
Not this year.
No All-NBA?
No NBA.
Carl Towns got you, huh? Carl Towns, Embiid.
Defense doesn't matter enough.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Rudy Gobert, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in. I have to start. We have to start with soccer.
Let's do it.
Because you're French. France, Belgium is Tuesday. When is
tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
What are you gonna do? I'm
gonna watch.
Just here, solo, by yourself. You got no party?
No, I have a little party. Basically, 11 a.m. So I have a few people over.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
You know, on the other side of the bracket, my wife is Croatian.
I know. I've seen that.
And I am now an honorary. I've labeled myself an honorary Croatian. So there's a chance we will be on. I'm a little pessimistic because they've had these two shootouts in a row, and
you
people say they're going to be tired.
I think they might. They're probably going to win. I have a feeling that Croatia are going to win.
Croatia France would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You feeling good though? Like, are you super into it? You're super into it, right?
I mean, I follow up. The World Cup is to me one of the best sport event in the world. And growing up in a big soccer environment, it's always fun to support, to see what's going on.
So France, you said something about playing for the international team in basketball once that I found very interesting, because the French soccer team that currently is two wins away from winning the World Cup has a lot of players of African or Caribbean descent, as does the basketball team. And you said once, it's funny, when we win, we're all very French. But when we lose, we're not quite as French as we used to be. Do you still feel that?
Not as much as before. I think, the mindset is really evolving, we understand that people in France understand that, the diversity is part of our history and of our culture, so it's really going it's going in the right direction.
Did you play soccer growing up?
Just for fun. I was playing with my friends all the time.
Okay.
I never played really in any club or anything like that.
What was your reaction when DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Warriors? Where were you and what did you do?
I was in Russia.
What was going on in Russia?
We had a game for the qualification game
for
the World Cup. So we play in Bosnia and then we play in Russia, in Krasnodar.
Okay.
So south of Russia, and I think it was middle of the night. I think that was after our game, if I'm right. After our game, and I think we probably were out having drinks or something like that. I was a little surprised, but his decision.
Do you buy into this whole the NBA is ruined? They have five all-stars on their team. Blah blah blah.
No, I mean, guys do what they want to do. Everyone is free to do what he wants to do. I mean, I'm a competitor. I think he's a competitor. He's coming back from a pretty big injury. So, I think he's just trying to, do what's good for him and, probably try to come back and find his rhythm and maybe finally, start winning and he's still young, so he's still got a lot of career to play.
You and him, you it gets feisty when the two of you play. Do you like that matchup, you and DeMarcus?
I like to play against anyone.
Anyone.
But it's always very physical, for sure.
It's funny, I ran into Terry Rozier just down in the lobby
here.
The Celtics are also staying at this undisclosed location. And we had been on TV together once. He says, I'm going to do a podcast with Rudy. Any good memories of Rudy? And he said, Rudy talks out there. Rudy talks. But he was smiling. He said, Rudy talks a little bit out there, so you talk.
I saw him yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He told me he was going to dunk on me, so I just told him to keep shooting floaters.
He said he's going to dunk? Okay, all right. Yeah. That would be, if Terry Rozier, I mean, he might be 6'1", 6'2". If he dunked on you, I mean, you've been dunked on. That's part of the job. But if he got you, that would surprise me.
Anything can happen, but now that you say that, I'll make sure it doesn't happen.
You told him to keep trying the floaters. Keep working on the floaters.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys and the Warriors have also had some feisty games. And I know that there are people on your team who, let's say, get a little irritated with Draymond's yapping. Do you like playing against Draymond? He gets under a lot of people's skin.
I don't mind. You know, that's the way. That's one of the ways that he can impact games, and he doesn't really get to me. You know, I'm out there, I'm competing, and I'm having fun. So, he's a competitor, and that's one of his way to try to get in people's skin.
What's the nastiest thing someone has said to you in an NBA game?
Nothing bad that I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
No one's crossed the line.
No one's crossed the line.
Are the Warriors beatable?
Of course. It's a basketball. You know, it's five guys playing against five guys.
You think you can beat them?
I mean, once again, it's basketball.
Yeah?
You know, you can... anyone can beat anyone. You know, it just depends how you do it. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, in sport, anything can happen.
What are your memories from the Rockets series? Because that's the other super team in the West, you know, the other 65 win team this year. Harden going at you is a really interesting and fun matchup. What did you take from that series?
That we really we miss Ricky.
Yeah,
we really miss Ricky, especially on that series. You know, the way they were playing defensively. I think having a point guard like Ricky that can see the floor and really punish the defense. You know, I think it would really help, especially me and the team. But we learned that we are at the same time far away, but not that far away. You know, we feel like we can play with these teams. You know, if we healthy and we keep getting better, you know, there is no reason for us to believe that we can't, you know, play with these teams.
When did you realize that Mitchell was going to be really good? Was there a moment in camp? When did you realize, like, oh, this kid's not a typical rookie?
In summer league.
Really?
You know, when he played against, I watched him play against the Boston in summer league, and I saw his mentality, his mindset playing against Tatum. They got drafted way higher than him. And I just thought I didn't know him before. I don't watch college basketball, so I was just thinking, I like this kid, you know. And then I talked to him, and I really liked his mentality and his competitiveness. You know, that's really the things that take you to the next level.
And there's no ego where, you know, you're the max contract guy or almost max contract guy. You're the face of the team, and he comes in, and he's the number one option on offense, and he's getting all this publicity. It seems like you guys, your whole team, is not cut from that kind of, like, there's no ego really on the team.
I mean, there's always ego, you know. We are human beings, but I want to win, you know. And no one's perfect, you know. He came in, he plays every game to win, and that's what I need from him. You know, he's got a lot better. You know, his decision making got a lot better for a rookie. You know, it's unbelievable how quick he learns and how quick, you know, he wants to make the right decision and play good. So, you know, I think I'm just excited, you know, to have him on the team.
You haven't made an All-Star team yet. I know you were annoyed 2 years ago when you didn't make it. Last year you were injured, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Now LeBron came to the West. Everyone comes to the West. Only Gordon went to the East. there's not that many people who went to the East. Do you think we need to just forget conferences? Like, what do you think of this idea? We should just pick the 16 best teams and go to the playoffs with those 16 teams. Forget conferences. Not 8 East, 8 West. Just the best 16.
I think that would be, I would say, more fair. More fair, but we know whatever happens, happens.
I think they should do the All-Star game like that. Because now that they
think so. I mean, I really do think so. When you have a concentration of the best players in the world that are more on the West side, no disrespect to the East, but, you know, it is what it is when you look at the player rankings.
You can disrespect the East. It's okay.
I mean, no, I don't disrespect anyone, but when you look at the player rankings and you look at the top 30 players, and you see that there's a big concentration in the West. I mean, top 20, I would say top 20 players.
Yeah.
It's big concentration in the West, so to me, yeah, they should probably do something about it.
If they're going to pick the teams like that, you know, they have the captains and they pick the teams. I don't know why we have the conferences anymore. Who cares?
For the All-Star game. I don't want one player to pick the other players because then there's too much. You know how it is. You know, it's the agents, all that. You know, it's a lot of pressure on the players, on LeBron, whoever we pick. So
you don't like that?
I don't really like that. I mean, I like that they can pick their team, but I don't like that they can pick who is All-Star or who is not.
Oh, yeah, no, forget that. But you like that they can, once the All-Stars are picked, you like that they can pick
the
team.
I think it's fun.
I got you.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Alex Jensen, who's the coach has worked probably most closely with you, told me a good story about you. He said, Joe Ingles has told me about this general thing, that a lot of you guys were at a barbecue on July 4th last year when the news came across that Gordon was leaving. And, of course, everyone's upset. Or people are wondering, what's going on? Who else are we going to sign? Alex told me Rudy said to a few of us, we're going to be, if he doesn't want to be here, we're going to be better. We're going to be better. If he doesn't want, any player who doesn't want to be here, we're going to be better off without them. We're going to recover. We're going to be fine. We're going to be a better team. And everyone was there sitting like, man, this guy, he might be a little crazy to think. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, definitely.
Even in that moment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could feel it. I could feel that it was coming, and you know, I don't want to bring that over again, but it was, you know, it was his decision. I just didn't like the way. I would have wished that he would have, you know, talked to his teammates a little more about it, and you know, just tell us what it was, you know, and we would have all supported him. But anyway, you know, yeah, it was. I was really focused on the team, and you know, you got, when something happened, you gotta move on. And I was confident that once again, our biggest strength was our defense, and that our defense was going to be probably even better, you know, because we added a very good defensive player. And so yeah, I was just excited for the next year and focusing on the next year.
Have you been back in touch with him since?
Yeah, we talked a little bit.
Okay. You know,
I saw him when we played in Boston. Mm-hmm. I got hurt that game, anyway. But I talked with him a little bit, and I mean, he's not a bad person. You know, I think he's a good person, and you know, he just maybe I don't know. Maybe he wanted to keep his secret, and it's fine. You know, it was a year ago, and now we all moved on. You know, we still talk sometimes.
Good. That's good to hear. So they're tough decisions. This is a very important question. Do you guys ever? Quinn Snyder makes the best faces of any NBA coach. He looks like a villain sometimes when he gets angry. It's the best. Do you guys ever make fun of Quinn for his faces? I would make fun of him every single day.
I never really focused on that. I feel like you can, when it's on the picture, it's, when you stop it and it's on the photo, you can really see. But when it's in the moment, you can't really, you know, pay attention to that.
I think you guys need to start.
I might start laughing.
What makes him a good coach? Why has he been successful with you guys?
He's just a competitor. You know, I've probably never seen a coach that, you know, is that competitive, you know, that has that fire and that wants to win, like he wants to win. And, you know, it's just exciting. You know, when you have a coach that comes in and that, you know, that have that kind of same mindset that I have, you know, that, you know, it doesn't matter, like, small market, it doesn't matter who we have, it doesn't matter. We're going to do something and we're going to start building something and we're going to make it. And that's how it starts. You know, when you have the coach that thinks like that, when you have a few players that, have that mentality.
But we don't care, we're in Utah, we don't care what people say about your soul.
Even better, it motivates us. You know that we know we're in a small market and we know nobody's expect us, you know, every year. Everyone is under readiness, and you know, I think it motivates him.
When that Oklahoma City series ended, did any of you guys go up to Paul George and say, hey, we had one small forward leave here, we could use another one?
Not really. Not myself.
I heard there was a little bit.
Maybe someone else did that. But, it's part of the game. You know, it's part of the game.
I just always wonder when all these teams, oh, Utah will never get a free agent, so-and-so will never get a free agent. There's always a point where they finally get a free agent. Like Boston for years was never going to get a free agent. Then they got Al, then they got Gordon, blah, blah. Utah's a different kind of place for lots of cultural reasons and demographic reasons and weather reasons and all that. I just wonder when the day will come when you guys will get someone. But you guys don't seem to care. It's like, well, whoever wants to come here, we'll build.
It's true that I haven't seen a big free agent sign for the Jazz. When's the last time?
I don't think. Forever. I think essentially forever. Yeah.
To be honest, I love being in Utah. So I think most people have a wrong idea that about the city, about the place. You know, if I wasn't playing there, I'd probably think it's a shitty place and it's a boring place. But I love to live there. I think. We still travel a lot, you know, so even if I wouldn't love it, I would still be able to, you know, enjoy myself everywhere I go. But I'm very grateful to be there. You know, it really fits my personality. I just enjoy it.
I read your first big purchase when you signed your contract, you bought a big house, 10, 15 minutes away from the practice facility or something like that. Has a tennis court. But there were rumors you were going to rip it out and put a pool in. Did you do that?
I did. It's still in process.
Still in the process.
The tennis court is not there anymore.
Did you play at all? Did you take advantage?
I played a few times.
Okay.
I got better, but
your serve, I think, would probably be pretty damn good.
Yeah, my serve was good, but after the serve, I better serve good because after the serve, it was over.
Well, tall tennis players, that you can't get down for the ones that come at your feet. That's hard.
And you gotta move your feet. I didn't realize how the footwear was important, how much it was important.
Yeah.
And, it's a sport. It's very, very physical.
Will your pool have any, are we gonna have one of the rock, you know, the rock and waterfall elements, or just gonna be a normal functional pool?
We'll see.
Hot tub?
We'll see if you can do something. Yeah, hot tub, pool, okay. And basketball gym also.
Oh, okay.
Inside basketball gym and weight room.
That seems useful. Those things seem useful.
Yeah, you know, I really want to make sure I have everything I need in my home, and that when I have people that visit me, they have a good time.
Did you always dress the way you dressed before you had money? I think the pink suit at the award show was when people started realizing, oh, this guy likes to take some fashion risks. Did you always want to be like a fashion risk taker?
Not really. I don't think it's really taking risk. I mean, I think everyone wants to dress like the norm, and when you dress a little different, they start laughing or they start saying you're crazy. But I just wear something when I like it. You know, if I like how it looks, if it fits right, if it looks good, you know, even if it's not something that anyone else would wear, I'm still gonna wear it.
Definitely people on your team gave you crap about that. 100% for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they hated.
Who was there when you... That was a big moment for you, winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Did you know you were going to win before the show? Did they tell you?
They didn't tell me. I only saw a few tweets back in April. I mean, I think you tweeted your...
My ballot, yeah, put my ballot out. Which you carefully keep track of. Right before this podcast, you reminded me that I did not vote for you 2 seasons ago.
I keep track of everything.
You do?
I have a good memory.
There was a story. I was reading a story about you that one time you direct messaged the NBA Twitter account saying, hey, I think I got shortchanged a block. They didn't count a block in the box score from last night. Can you please look into this block that I didn't get credit for? I mean, that is like you're making sure everything is on the up and up.
I did that. I think it was 4 years ago.
It was when you were just establishing.
It was
yourself.
4 years ago, and I mean, every game I was missing blocks. So it came to a point when I was trying to be the number one shot blocker in the league, and the race was pretty close. It came to a point when I just say, I mean, I didn't have no assistant, I didn't have nobody, so I just went myself.
You got to do it yourself.
Yeah, but it was a snitch because it snitched to everyone. The community manager from the NBA.
Say again.
He snitched on me.
Who did?
The community manager.
Really?
The guy at the M, because everyone found out.
Yeah, oh, I thought you told that story. You didn't tell that story?
He snitched.
Hiring is a challenge, listeners, and if you know one thing about me, you know that I like things that are simple and fast and save me time. And the one place you can do your hiring that way is ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, the name of this podcast. ZipRecruiter takes all of the heartache out of hiring. You don't have to go on 100 job boards. You don't have to search for candidates all over the internet and waste 3 hours. It sends your job opening to over 100 of the web's leading boards, and it doesn't even stop there. It has powerful matching technology that scans all the resumes you get and highlights the best ones and invites them to apply for your job. It even can analyze each application as it rolls in and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers, 80%, if you shoot 80% from the foul line in the NBA, that's really good. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. Literally, you cannot get it any cheaper than that unless they begin paying you. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOWE. My last name, POST, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So sometimes I watch a game in the morning, you know, that was on the West Coast the night before. And I'll be moved to tweet some observation from the game that I think is interesting. And it must have been you. I have to look back. In my head, it's you guys against Philly. And Jahlil Okafor had, like, some nice moments against you. And I tweeted something. I was feeling bad for Jahlil Okafor because his NBA career has gone so badly. And he had, like, a couple of nice baskets. And I said, you know, look, it was nice. Something was Jahlil Okafor for a half really, you know, kind of, like, went hard at Rudy Gobert. And it was nice to see. You came right. You think it was more aggressive? I'm shortchanging how aggressive I was. You went back at me and said, check the stats, see what he, so something like check the stats and see what Jahlil actually shot against me. I was like, damn, this guy, you are, some people tell stories about, oh, I'm always looking for the haters and the doubters. You actually take motivation from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have a lot of pride. Whatever I do, you know, I like to do it right. And you know, I also like to talk trash a little bit. So, when someone talks trash, you know, I make sure
I didn't talk trash. That's not fair.
No, you're not talking trash. It's a way of saying it. You know, I keep track of everything, and it definitely motivates me. I have a lot of pride, and, you know, it's fun. It's fun when I see people criticizing me and, you know, telling me I can't do something or I'm not going to be this, I'm not going to be that. You know, it's something I enjoy.
Do you hold a special place in your heart for the Nuggets since they drafted you and sold the draft pick to Utah? You get to play them four times a year.
I do. I mean, it's pretty close. It's mountains and both, you know, so. Not really. I think the Nuggets really haven't had no interest in me. You know, the Jazz just made a great trade, and they used the Nuggets pick to try to get me in the first round. So that was just, I think, a good move by the Jazz.
Yeah, your workout for the Jazz was supposedly awesome. Like, I believe the story is they had Dellavedova lobbing alley-oops to you, which was not the kind of thing, I guess not a lot of teams were trying to simulate pick and role play like that. And they were like, oh, wow, look what this guy can do.
Yeah, Dellavedova was there. I think I was playing against Gogi Jang. It was one of my best workouts for sure. I had a few very good ones, but that was definitely one of the best.
The combine was not so good though, right? That's what I was reading today. It's like,
yeah. I think I came at the combine and I wasn't expecting to play, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. So there was kind of like a miscommunication, and I wasn't in great. My knee was a little hurt, so I didn't play great, but. You know, it is what it is.
How's your? You're fine now, right? Because you had a couple leg injuries this season too, or at least one.
I'm great now.
Yeah, I'm great. That one, the one that happened in November, December, whenever it was, that was scary. That, I believe it was against Miami. Somebody kind of rolled into you, right?
Yeah.
That, I know the team was scared when that happened.
I was. You know, I was. I can't. The crazy thing is when it happened, I came in the training room and I really wanted to finish this game and win this game. So I did some testing on my knee. You know, I did some jumps, some squats, and I just put a knee brace and I came back and I finished the game.
You know what? I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I finished that game and we lost because I think Deion Waiters hit like 3 crazy shots in a row, but we were pretty close of winning it.
Who is someone whose shot you have never blocked in the NBA that you would really like to get? Because I know you got it. You know who you've got.
I think I know who I didn't get.
yeah. Now it's the sample of players is smaller that you didn't get. So who's someone that you were like, man, I would love to get that guy? I guess there's some guy like you're never going to get, or it's going to be hard for you to get Kyle Korver or someone who's just a 3-point shooter. Although you'll get him sometimes. But who's someone you really want to get?
Who do you think I didn't get? Is there someone you think that I didn't get?
Have you gotten Klay?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trusting your recollection. Steph?
Yes.
Durant?
Yes.
Why am I going all Warriors? Let's do LeBron?
Yes.
I'm sure all the big guys you've gotten. I'm trying to think of who would be a Kevin Love?
Kevin Love. Probably did a while ago, not last year because I didn't play against the Cavs at all. I think I did. Probably
Jason Tatum as a rookie, only one or zero chances at him because you were hurt for one of those games. I think right?
I played one. I played the one in Utah, the one we lost at the buzzer.
Did you get him?
I don't think I did.
Ben Simmons.
I got Ben.
You got Ben already?
Yeah, I think I got Ben when they played us in Utah. We only played once.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure 100%.
I assume you've gotten Embiid.
Yes.
The trash talk in that must be epic.
That was... he wasn't talking as much when it happened. It was my... Because after that, he rested all the games. So, and I was hurt also. So it was... His rookie year. That was his. I mean, his.
Yeah.
His real rookie year, like the rookie year when he was playing.
JJ Redick.
I got JJ.
Really.
I got JJ on the drive or something like that for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of from that Clippers series. Who else would CP? I'm sure you've gotten on mid. You've gotten a fingertip on the mid range jumper a few times probably.
Yeah, I got CP even.
What's the best block of your career? What's the one that you just were like, that was so... I imagine a great block when you really get it is like in golf or in baseball when you make the sweet spot contact.
I mean, when someone tries to dunk on you and there is that moment when you're not sure if you're going to block it or not, you know? And like when you block it, it's actually like, I got it. Like if you miss it, you get dunked.
You're cool with that. That's part of the job.
I mean, I'm not cool with it, but sometimes it happens.
Well, the two famous ones on you, I think, are Wiggins and DeRozan, right?
Yeah. So I ended up... So that game, I had a block. Like, Wiggins dunked on me, and then he came again, and I blocked him.
You got him.
And I got him. So that was a pretty big moment. That was my second year. And then there's some game-winning blocks that I had. Maybe not as impressive on the highlight tape, but you know when it's a moment when the game is on the line and you're able to make a play for your team, it's pretty big to me.
Have you ever gotten Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
On a dunk? Or just a regular floater layup kind of thing?
I got him many times in one game, but I don't remember if he tried to dunk on me or not.
Vince Carter?
Did I get Vince?
That would be fun if, like, old man Vince Carter, who can see, he can still get up.
He got me one time.
He did?
He did. I was surprised, but he got me in Memphis, when he was in Memphis.
Who has the best pump fake? What pump fake just get just like, I got to remember that guy's not going to shoot?
I know Al Jefferson got a great pump fake.
Who?
And Al Jefferson.
Oh, Big Al.
But I never really, I play against him, but... that was kind of like later on in his career.
He'll hit you with the one-handers.
Yeah, the one-hand pump fake. But I was so, they tell me like 20 times. The coaches told me 20 times. So I was like, I was ready for it. You know, and I didn't go for it.
Well, some coaches will tell you people 20 times and it's such a good fake that it doesn't matter. It's like Dwayne Wade has been getting people for 20 years now. Everyone says you got to stay down on Dwayne Wade. Nobody can do it.
I know. I mean, someone that I don't really get me, but Chandler Parsons, pump fake.
He has a good pump, but it doesn't. I like it. It's a good pump fake, but it doesn't get you.
It doesn't get me because I never get to guard.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. But I remember him getting everyone on the closeout situation. He was always doing the same, and everyone was just jumping.
He goes up like on his tiptoes. Yeah. That's what made, like he almost travels every single time.
Yeah,
it fools me sometimes. Speaking of which, did you watch? So you guys were you were playing when this was going on. Did you watch any of the Celtics Sixers series this year?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So it was very interesting to me, and I would be interested to hear your perspective on it. Joel Embiid finished second in Defensive Player of the Year voting behind you. Somewhat similar players, you and him, big guys, rim protectors, and the question is always, okay, when the other team puts five shooters on the floor, how are they going to be able to hang? And by the halfway point of that series, the Sixers decided he can't guard Al Horford. Like, we just can't. Like, the pick and pop is killing us. Al's pumping and driving him. We got to hide Joel Embiid. We got to put him on Marcus Morris. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is Joel Embiid, the maybe Defensive Player of the Year, maybe runner-up. And the Celtics have caused him so much trouble with a shooting center that the Sixers have to hide a top five defender somewhere else on a different player. Did you watch that and think? Did you watch that and think that couldn't happen to me, or I don't care? I can still impact the game wherever I am. I mean, is that a challenge that you think about? That kind of like, you know, that shooting.
I think definitely. I mean, first of all, if a team tries to do that, that means you impact them because they put five shooters. I mean, they don't put as much pressure on the rim.
True.
So you're already impacting them before the game even starts. And then, you just got to be more focused. I think you just got to be more disciplined. You know, of course, my comfort zone is to be in the paint. But, you know, if I have to close out on someone and, you know, and make sure I do it. You know, I do it. And, of course, it's not, I mean, when you're guarding a little guy that, you know, dancing around with the board, I got to move my feet. It's something that I'm not used to do as much. But he also has to drive. And if he drives and score on me, I don't think he wants to do that. So
when you're dancing with Steph Curry on a switch, what are you doing? Like, what are you thinking? I remember Kevin Love told my friend Lee Jenkins in Sports Illustrated, he had a trick where he would stare at, like, I think it was the jersey numbers on Steph's chest. So he had some trick to do. Like, what does that feel like for you? Do you have a trick for that specific circumstance with Steph?
I mean, we had a, you know, the game plan was to not give him any space and not letting him drive like straight line on the right. So I was kind of trying to stick him a little bit, and then he drove left. So he kind of beat me.
Right.
And then so I was kind of late, and I tried to run, and he pulled it back. So then I turned around. You know, I tried to find him again. I turned around, and then I was
literally running. Spun around.
I spun around, and at the same time I was spinning around, he drove again. So that was a nice dance move.
Is it scary?
Like, but he didn't get a three though.
He didn't hit it. That's right. That's the. Is it scary being out there against him?
No, it's not scary. You just got to be quick on your feet. But I was young. I mean, I was hurt. I don't want to find excuses. Yeah. But he got me.
True or false? You have claimed behind closed doors that you could beat Floyd Mayweather in boxing.
Not in boxing.
In fighting.
No. We had a debate. All right. We had a debate. Because people, I mean, in boxing, there's no question. You will kick my ass. No, there's no, even if my reach is bigger. Like,
okay, so we need to loosen the rules a little bit then. We need to do not just boxing.
No, I was just saying that boxing, there's more than boxing in fighting. You know, we were talking about, UFC and all that stuff. And I was just saying the size, you know, the height, the size, the height. I mean, it's so big. Like he's very small compared to me, and I do a lot of MMA and a lot of fighting. So I was saying that would be fun, you know, to see, but we're never gonna find out. You know, it was just a debate.
I think the Jazz would prevent that from happening. But it would be, you could make a lot of money. Rudy Gobert versus Floyd Mayweather would make a lot of money.
I think so. But anyway, we're just debating. You know, we're having fun. And once again, sometime, it was fun. And my teammates gave me a hard time. But, you know, just really debate.
What's your favorite Boris Diaw story? One of the all-time characters in the history of basketball. French. Mm-hmm. So you've played national team with him, NBA with him in Utah.
He's a great guy. What story do I have? I have a lot of stories on Boris, but you have to lighten me a little bit. What kind of story do you want to...
This is anything off the court.
Anything off the court.
Anything funny, really. He's just so funny.
He is very funny. I don't know. He never goes anywhere without his coffee machine.
Famous.
I heard he used to be even more crazy before. You know, I mean, he's a very smart guy and a very nice guy. One of the nicest guys I've been around, but he's also, you know, he likes to have a good time. And, you know, I heard when he was back in Phoenix, you know, he was having a lot of pool parties and that kind of stuff. So, no, he's just a great guy. You know, I don't have any super funny stories in my mind. He loves to drink wine. He loves to eat a lot. That's it, man. But he's also a very competitive guy on the court. You know, he's a great teammate. He's a winner. And he's just one of the guys I looked up to, and he helped me a lot, I think, in my career.
I don't know how well you know Tony, but have you talked to Tony Parker since he left the Spurs?
No, I didn't even talk to him.
No.
I mean, I know it was probably a tough decision for him. You know, I remember talking with him before, and he was telling me that he would love to, you know, to spend his whole career for the same team, but at the same time, you know, that you never know what happens. And, you know, when I saw that news, the news came out, you know, I was pretty surprised. You know, I was like, hey.
It's going to be weird, right?
It's weird. Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, when you spend how many years? 15 years? 16 years?
I think it's 15, 16 seasons, yeah.
In the same place, and, you know, the whole world watched the same guy playing 15 years. I mean, some kids weren't even born 15 years ago, you know, to watch basketball. So, no, it's just going to be weird.
Who were your heroes growing up? What basketball players did you look up to, if any? In all the clips I read about you, there were never anything like, oh, I always wanted to be like this guy,
wanted to be like someone. I always wanted to be myself, but I remember I wasn't watching basketball before, and I couldn't. I mean, it was in France, you know, it was really hard to watch basketball when you didn't have a computer and stuff like that. Probably when I was 13, I started following the NBA, you know. I remember watching a lot of LeBron, you know, LeBron James. You could see him every night on the top 10. So, there isn't one player that I wanted to be the same. I wanted to be myself. And I was just enjoying watching the top 10s and sometimes watching games when I could.
Last one. Just what are your expectations for next season, either for you or for the team? Pick.
For both. You know, I think just keep getting better. You know, I feel like last year, for most people, the outside world, we beat expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't. Actually, I feel like we can be a lot better. You know, hopefully we don't have as many injuries, you know, and we can keep growing and keep making noise, and, you know, we see what
we're always. You were always the one that was saying, we're going to be fine. You know, one of the other coaches on your team told me, it was sometime just after you came back and we were as far under 500 as we got the whole year, and we were in the layup line, or just coming out of the layup line, either in a practice. I think he said it was before a game, and Rudy came up to me and said, "We're going to get the third or fourth seed. Like we're going to be three or four. Not we're going to make the playoffs. Mm. We're going to be three or four." And the coach was like, "I what is he thinking? Like three or four?" But do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And the coach told me, like, Rudy's always right, no matter what, no matter how crazy. So you even said three or four. Well, you guys are probably 9 games or 8 games under 500.
Yeah. I remember saying that to many people.
And you're just nodding here like it's no big deal to predict that. If I predicted that, I would have come here and bet a lot of money on it and won a lot of money on it.
Definitely. You know, but it's one of the things that I enjoy. And, you know, when I... It was really hard for me to be hurt on sideline and watch my team, you know, really, I mean, kind of struggling at times, you know. It was frustrating, but I think it really made me stronger and made me, you know, realize what I needed to what I could do to help this team when I came back. And, you know, I feel like when I came back, it really, it really gave everyone some more motivation, yeah. And we won one, we won two, then we had that big winning streak, and then, you know, we felt like there's nobody that could beat us. We could beat anyone, I would say. We could beat anyone, and that's the mindset I have every night. You know, there's not a team that I play that, and I think we can beat them.
I guess that's the right way to do it, because you keep being right with all these predictions. All right, you got plans. Yeah. We're in Las Vegas. It's now nighttime. Apparently there are things to do in this city. Rudy, it's been really, from both up close and afar, it's been awesome to watch you skyrocket up in the NBA.
Thank you.
I know that I speak for a lot of NBA fans. We're just knock on wood. Let's have a full, healthy year for you.
Yes.
No scary moments, no bad injuries. And
no people diving into my legs.
No people diving into you, as you just said. We'll see if you can repeat Defensive Player of the Year and what else. And so it's been really fun, and thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate it.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.